I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord tonight. Might come a day and a time when we can't even gather together except down in the basement. So I'm glad you're taking advantage of it now. Amen. Father, I just thank you right now, and I praise you, and I give you honor, and I give you glory. Father God, I know you started the works within here tonight, and I'm asking you to finish it before the people leave. Speak to your angelic host. Give them their assignments for tonight, Father, and let them do the works in your people. And Father God, we just thank you that the Holy Spirit rules and reigns in this place. And that, Father God, your Holy Spirit has full permission to do whatever you tell him to do. And tonight, God, we need a great visitation from you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad to see us all dancing and rejoicing before the Lord. I'm going to read a couple things tonight because I think you need it. You probably already read them, but that's okay. I think you need it impressed upon your spirit, man. You know that we are preparing for Rosh Hashanah, which is September the 13th, the beginning of their new year, 5776. 5776 is very significant because it is a jubilee year. And the 70th jubilee year since Joshua and Caleb crossed the Jordan River. God told me a couple months ago that this was a year of jubilee. And when I told you that, I sort of said with tongue in cheek because God said that to us before. But people never entered into their jubilee. But this is a different type of jubilee. It is very significant because it is a jubilee year and the 70th jubilee year since Joshua and Caleb crossed the Jordan River. According to Hebrew numerology, 7 signifies perfection or completion in both the spiritual and natural realms. So you see the number is 5776. God created all things in 7 days. There are 7 days each week and the Sabbath is on the 7th day. Likewise, the number 6 is associated with mankind and human weakness. It is the number of man as man was created on the 6th day. So you have your 776 accounted for. 5776 will be a year for our weaknesses to be exposed. That's what God's been doing already. But also for God's perfection to shine brightly through. Now remember, Rosh Hashanah and this new year doesn't start until September 13th. This is a year to surrender our weaknesses for his perfection of grace, and that is true jubilee. You need to surrender your weaknesses, which are your sin nature, to God. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, when we are weak, we are strong in him. Why is this year so special and yet so foreboding? Because we know that everybody's saying some terrible things are going to happen in September, and I'm inclined to believe that. I'm not going to dwell on that because God told me not to dwell on that, but you can read all the articles you want, all right? And you can see what God's saying. Let's look at the signs and wonders through the filters of the Holy Spirit. The four blood moons that have received so much press coincide with the S-H-M-I-T-A year 5775 and our jubilee year 5776. A jubilee year comes after 7 sabbatical cycles of 7 years. That is 7 sets of 6 years, plus a S-H-M-I-T-A year, 49 years, and then a jubilee release. And we've reached that. This year, the last blood moon is coinciding with the end of the S-H-M-I-T-A year and the beginning of the jubilee year, which is truly amazing. This year, the last blood moon is coinciding with the end of the Shemitah year and the beginning of the Jubilee year, which is truly amazing. The Hebrew word Yovel, which means Jubilee, means trumpet or a ram's horn. Ram's horns or shofars are blown to announce the beginning of Sabbaths and holidays, and in biblical times they were also used at the coronation of a king or to rally the people to battle. Also at this special time of Jubilee, every 50 years, ram's horns are blown on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to announce the beginning of Jubilee. This is important because during the days of Joshua, the land of Canaan was dispersed among the families and tribes, and the land permanently belonged to that tribe or family. So we were talking about the lamb's horn being blown, and that date happens to fall on Tuesday. So Tuesday evening we'll be blowing the shofar during prayer meeting. All right, so I said, this is important because during the days of Joshua, the land of Canaan was dispersed among the families and tribes, and the land permanently belonged to that tribe or family. The land was permanent inheritance. It was a permanent inheritance that was given to the place, and then you place your name there. So you say that to yourself. The land is a permanent inheritance that was given to, I'll say, the Lynch family. All right? You can lease it or temporarily sell it, but ultimately the land is returned to your family during the Jubilee year. So in other words, what this is saying is whatever you lost during this Jubilee year, God wants to return it to you. And the Jubilee year starts when? September 13th, did I say? So are you going to decree and declare it, or are you just going to just sit around and just wonder what God's doing? All right, let's read that paragraph again. You can lease it or temporarily sell it, but ultimately the land is returned to your family during the Jubilee year. The land reverts to its original owner. And when you talk about land, they're talking about real land, but when you talk about land, it's what do you own? What has the enemy stolen from you is what God was showing me all this. What has he stolen from you? Whatever he's stolen belongs to you. Now, and he has to return it back to the original owner. All right? When the ram's horn was blown on the Day of Atonement, debts were released, land was returned, and men and women were freed from slavery. When the ram's horn was blown on the Day of Atonement, which is on a Tuesday prayer meeting, debts were released, land was returned, and men and women were freed from slavery. The slate was wiped clean. Isn't that amazing? That God can do that. You know, God is a profound God. And he can do whatever he desires to do. And this is the year he's been telling us. This is the year that we are going to receive all of our blessings. So why don't you go ahead and start believing him? And then when the new year comes in, receive back all that the canker and the palmer worm has stolen from you. Has he stolen your house? Tell him you want it back. You know, has he stolen, you know, your children? You want your children back. Has he stolen your money? You want your money back. Whatever he's stolen, you want back. Now, you know, I'm really hope you guys get this, because I don't know how many years ago God said this is Jubilee and nobody received it. And God said everybody's Jubilee is whenever they can believe for it. So haven't you not believed for it long enough? Since this is a true Jubilee year, then why not believe for it and receive it? You know, your freedom, whatever it is you need, believe for it and receive it. Why do you think the enemy has been working so hard trying to get you back into his territory? Because he knows if you grab a hold of this new year, that he's lost you forever. The Jubilee year ensured Joshua and his people two things, freedom and inheritance. Freedom and inheritance. Release your Jubilee blessing today. We are taking a few steps to claim our inheritance and freedom, and we are inviting you to do the same. Now, are you going to take the steps that's necessary to, you know, you people just slay me. You sit here. You're not an excited bone in your face. How long does it take it to go from one ear and then stop in your process till it goes down into your heart? Come on. You need to start processing this stuff immediately. When I read this, I got so excited I couldn't hardly contain myself. This is what we've been crying out for, God. We've been crying out for the release. We've been crying out for our freedom. We've been crying out for the Satan to take his hands off of what belongs to us. And here we sit. Lost my place. Has your inheritance been lost or stolen? This is a year to spiritually move forward and claim that return. We are no longer slaves to situations and circumstances. This is our year of freedom. Come on. This is such an important opportunity and season for us to decree a release for our own families. You know, you have to be careful what's going on in your walk with God, because God's making me clean. He's cleaning up my house because he's using me to do it. So this is my year of release. This is my year of peace. This is my year of freedom from all the junk that's been going in my home. And he's making me walk it out myself. But I'm doing it no matter what the cost of what people are saying. And I'm receiving my freedom in my home. So maybe God's trying to use you to walk out this thing yourself. And then as you walk it out, he's going to do the work. Come on. Everything that has been lost will be found, and everything stolen returned. This is your year. Believe it and receive it. I want that thing. I decree that thing is burned so deeply in your spirit, you won't be able to even stop thinking about it. And you're just going to receive everything that God has told you you're going to receive. How long, much longer are you going to wait to allow the enemy to steal your home God wants for you and your brood? Brady Bunch. Come on.
Everything.
That's right, everything. We just need to get back what the enemy has stolen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in the pigsty. I'm tired of living with the enemy having a sway over my home. I'm really tired of it. And he has to give it back to me. He knows that because I told him that. You know, he has to return everything he's stolen. Okay, let's go to the next one. This here was a word that somebody put on. I don't think I put it. Oh, yeah, Lana Vaser. She put this on. And so since I was studying all about this, Rosh Hashanah, and I had a sermon all together, and I said, no, I'm going to use what she wrote. I really like that. So I'm using her material because it's really good. All right, she said September, a month of sudden unlocking. Hasn't God been saying, I'm going to give you the suddenly, overnight, in a wink of an eye, I'm going to change all of your circumstances. And I'm going to tell some of you who come here on a permanent basis, you are playing around with your salvation. You are not doing the things God's telling you to do, and you're getting ready to lose out on God if you don't get it together. You're wavering, and God cannot bless you if you waver. You have to be steadfast and determined that no matter what comes down the road, you're going to stay where God's planted you. Your feet are going to stay in his path, and you're not going to keep going to the right and going to the left, but you're going to stay right on that path, and you're not going to quit. You're going to quit making stupid excuses of why you can't do what God's calling you to do. If you don't stop, the game's over, because God's laid them apart. Two of you in here are really playing around with God, and you need to stop. You just need to flat stop, and you need to be determined. You are going to get what God has for you, and the devil can go someplace else and harass somebody else. You know, I was reading about a true prophet. You know what a true prophet does? A true prophet talks about sin, and a true prophet gets the people in the church in line. So now I know why I do what I do. You know? I've often been wondering, how about that? Took all 30 years to find this out. Because I've often said, why do I preach what I preach? Why do I talk so hard? Why am I continue talking about sin? And that's what a true prophet does. A true prophet routs out sin in the church and gets the people lined up, or the people leave, one or the other. A true prophet will not allow you to sit in the house of God and still commit sin. They just won't do that. Because that's, they're called to tell you, just like John, God told me I was second John the Baptist. The other day when I read that article, I said, God, I'm going to go get me a camel skin. I mean, what kind of skin did he wear? What was that skin? It was a camel. I'm going to go get one of them and wear it. I was at a church one time in a Methodist church, believe it or not, where old ladies were there, nothing but old ladies. And it was time for the service to start, and I went home on vacation And I went to the church, and it was my first husband's home church, and we were sitting there, and everybody said, where's the pastor? All of a sudden, you heard somebody scream, repent, at the top of their lungs. And we all turned and looked. He was standing in the back of the church. He had camel skin and a staff slamming it on the floor. Well, them ladies fired him that day. How dare he come in there half naked? His little hairy legs were showing. And screaming, repent, they weren't sinners. He lasted one Sunday and they kicked him out. I thought it was wonderful though. I said, isn't this wonderful? These old people are going to get revived. He's going to set fire under him. He did, and they fired him. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm just going to tell you, you need to get it together. I don't think I look too good in camel skin anyhow. All right, so strategic doors are opening. We're back to our little message here. At the beginning of every week, I ask the Lord, this is what Lana says, I ask the Lord what is on his heart for the week. And for this week, he said Isaiah 22:22 to me again. I have been hearing this verse from the Lord over and over lately and seeing the numbers 22:22 everywhere. So I wrote down Isaiah 22:22 says, what door he opens, no man can shut. And what door he shuts, no man can open. So you need to quit trying to open and shut doors for yourself. Let God do it. Or get out of the show. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care because he's not going to have you interfere with what he's trying to do in your life. All right, strategic doors are going to open for many this week as they continue to walk in faith and follow the prompting of his spirit. Now, she wrote this just today. And so she says that strategic doors are going to open for many this week as they continue to walk in faith and follow the prompting of his spirit. So you have to walk, continue to walk in faith and follow the prompting of his spirit. You can't walk in your own stupid flesh. Some of you need to go out and get bathed. Your flesh stinketh. You keep walking in that. You keep allowing that flesh to rear up and you keep walking in your flesh. You need to die to it. You really do. The Lord is unlocking strategic doors this week that is going to usher in the beginning of the greatest shift that people of God have yet seen in their lives, personally and corporately, leading into Rosh Hashanah. This is leading into. It's this week. Come on. You think you have all the time in the world to fool around. No, you don't. It's here. It's done. And I don't know how many of you sitting in here have made it across Jordan. Well, you're still playing around thinking, oh, I can sin again. I can go out to the bar. I can flirt. I can smoke cigarettes. I can drink a beer. I can do a drug. And you know, I still have time. No, 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 no. God told us that those days were over. We had to get it together. And I don't know about you, but I would really, really be checking the atmosphere around me and over top of me and find out what kind of an atmosphere I'm walking in. I saw these doors opening this week for many, and these doors will position them perfectly as we enter into Rosh Hashanah. To see the winds of change land suddenly in lives. How does she write that? Let's read that again. I saw these doors opening this week for many, and these doors will position them perfectly as we enter into Rosh Hashanah. To see the winds of change land suddenly in lives, rearrange much, put all things in heavenly order, and they will be positioned ready for takeoff into the greatest demonstration of unlocking they have seen. Come on. Come on, saints. Come on. God's already started it. Where are you at? What have you received? What are you missing? Because you're still in tune to your own desires, your own wants, your own needs. This is what I'm going to do. You're not in tune to what is God trying to do with me. Come on. September will be a month of sudden unlocking. I saw the Lord bringing an unlocking over the lives of his people as they are intentional in pressing in and not giving up. You have to be intent in pressing into God and not have one thought of ever giving up. You have to be intent on doing God's will and not your own will. It doesn't matter what your circumstances around about you are saying. You have to be intent on God. You know, I had a situation at my home and I had to tell somebody I had to get out because God told me so. They've threatened to do all kind of manner of stuff on Facebook and to blaspheme the church. I can't help that. I have to do what God told me to do. And God's going to take care of the enemy. You know, I haven't slept for two nights because of their witchcraft words are speaking over me. But I still have to, you know, I even said, God, should I? He said, no, you keep your hands out of this. I'm the one that's doing this, not you. So, you know, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what people are saying, I have to be intent on doing the will of the Father. Come on, it doesn't matter where anything lands. God's in control of it. So what are you doing with your life? Are you doing what God tells you to do, no matter who it hurts or what it hurts or what it entails? Are you still doing your own thing? You need to ask yourselves this. You don't want to miss out on the greatest move that God is going to do in church history. You just don't. And God told me years ago, he said, many are not getting in the river now, and I'm calling them into the river. And when my glory falls, they're going to be standing on the riverbank wanting to get in, but I won't allow them in. They wouldn't get in when I told them to get in, and I'm not going to allow them to get in, and they're going to miss everything totally and completely. So if you're still wavering, if you're still trying to do your own thing, still going against what God told you to do, I don't know if you can get in. I really don't know where you stand. Only you know what's in your heart. God knows. I don't. I really don't want to know. I've had enough of knowing what's in people's hearts. I just want just to do what I'm supposed to do. And let God take care of your situation. Then she goes on to say, I saw the enemy attempting to bring a strong, heavy fatigue. You listen to this. All across the body of Christ, especially as we move into September. Why? To pull the people back into a place of complacency rather than intentionality of seeking him. If you are allowing the enemy to pull you back into a place of complacency, you are in trouble. We should have crossed over that bridge a whole long time ago. God's been telling us, get out of your spirit of lethargy. Get out of this complacency that you're in and get on fire for me. Move with me. And she said that's what God showed her. The enemy will attempt to bring increased fatigue. She says, shake that off through worship and know that a great awakening is upon you. The Lord is awakening you. I've seen people in here that used to be on fire for God. Can't hardly keep their eyes open while I'm preaching. And I know I'm not boring. You know, but yet you're sitting here trying to fall asleep. Really, when I see you fall asleep, I sort of raise my voice a little bit, trying to wake you up. And I'm thinking, where are you at that you can fall asleep in the house of God with God really pouring out an important message that's going to save your soul? Think about it. Intercessory prayer bringing huge shifts. I saw between September 1st to September 13th huge intercessory burdens being released. And see, just the other day I said, okay, our prayer meeting isn't right. My intercessor had dropped out. I said, you get yourself back into church. You're the lead intercessor. Get in there Tuesday nights and do your job at leading them people into prayer. It's her job. She's a leader. She knows she seeks God's face. She laid out long enough. She had to get back in there and do her job. And then I read this. I saw between September 1st to September 13th, huge intercessory burdens being released. Many will feel a need to withdraw to the prayer closet more than ever between these days, as the Lord will break ground in the spirit through your prayers that are going to see revival and the power of God burst open through the new year. So between September the 1st to September 13th, you intercessors, whoever you are, I mean, she leads our intercessory prayer. You probably are feeling a need to get into the prayer closet like never before, because God's letting you feel the shift that's going on in the atmosphere. Amen. Don't think it's always just me. I know I'm burdened to pray. No, God's doing more in your life than he has before. Pay attention to these burdens he is releasing. And as you pray them through, know that this area you have been interceding for is going to be in an area of huge breakthrough, huge shift, and a momentous move of his spirit and great unlocking as we move into Rosh Hashanah. So we're interceding right now for the day Rosh Hashanah appears. What the Lord has you intercede over from September 1st to September 13th will have ripple effects of breakthrough for the entire year following. That 13 days is going to have a rippling effect and go into the next year. Are you listening? I felt the Lord said that we must watch and be alert for the areas that he is opening these successive doors in. Let's read that again. I felt the Lord say that we must watch and be alert for the areas that he is opening these successive doors in, because these doors are going to be indicators of where he is going to bring a momentous shift, which will unveil runways of destiny. As talking about your personal lives. It's talking about your personal lives. You need to be more aware of what God's doing in your own personal life. Instead of trying to, I'm hearing God say, instead of trying to overshadow my word, let my word be prominent in your life. In other words, he's saying by overshadowing, you're still trying to do your own thing. Making excuses why you can't do what God's told you to do. You know, God told us a couple years ago he was going to be moving people from state to state because he needed them in the right position, and he's moved you here. And if you move, you're done. I'm going to tell you right up front. He's moved you from Delaware, Maryland to here. And if you move, you're done. You're not going to make it. Because, you know, you have to do what God's telling you to do. You have to move where he's telling you to move and stay there because that's where he needs you. He doesn't need you in Florida. My God, there's enough people in Florida interceding and doing warfare and everything. There's not enough people in Delaware. Are you understanding? See, you all sit here, well, I don't want to live. Well, you know what? Too bad. Whenever you knock on the pearly gates, he might say, well, I don't want you in here either. You didn't want to go where I wanted you to go. I don't want you in here. I'm serious. He tells you, go to Lighthouse Church. I don't want to go to that church. All he does is speak about sin. Okay, well, then you don't belong in the pearly gates either because we don't have sin up here. I was trying to get you prepared for that, but you didn't want to hear it. Listen to what he's saying. God is going to unlock doors of dreams that seem so impossible. Are you listening back there in the corner? And they will suddenly fly open. Every time I think about your home, and I pray for your home every day, I remember God said to me, you will be totally surprised how I move them out. So I'm waiting for my big surprise. Rosh Hashanah is going to bring it. Amen. Didn't God say you were going to have your home before by the end of summer? Well, end of summer is fast approaching, isn't it? So you better be decreeing a whole bunch. So he is going to unlock doors of dreams that seem so impossible, and they will suddenly fly open. A greater release of vision of the new day, and new morning, and what that looks like is opening up in September. He's been talking about this new day and new wineskins and new this and new that and new the other, getting rid of the old, and y'all stand around here and act like you just don't even know what he's even talking about. Go dip your head in the River Jordan. Then come back and sit in the house of God. Maybe he'll clear your ears. I'm not being ignorant. I'm really just saying you need to really get your ears unclogged and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Come on. September will usher in revelation of the new morning, moving away from morning. Your new M-O-R-N-I-N-G and moving away from M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. We're no longer on this stupid morning state that we're in. We're going to move into the new morning and we're just going to be wonderfully happy. These are doors of tremendous favor. God has spoken over some of your lives. You're going to find favor wherever you go. Yes, Lord. He said, you're going to do that because first of all, find favor with me. You first of all have to do right and find favor with God. And then everywhere you go, you're going to find favor. These are doors of tremendous favor, setting up the people of God for runways of destiny revealed where revival will be released all across the earth. Come on. The Lord went on to say that with the huge shift and huge doors that are being unlocked in September with radical provision, the people of God must stay alert. We have to be alert. When I call you 11 o'clock in the morning, I don't expect to hear you say, hello, like you're trying to pretend like you're not sleeping. You have to be alert. Come on. I don't care if you're up to 4 o'clock in the morning working church stuff. You shouldn't be in bed at no 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. If you're that busy, you need to be up working. What does it say, working today for the night? I don't know how the scripture goes. Come on. We need to be about the Father's business. The people of God must stay alert in the unlocking, to move forward through these doors with wisdom. The people of God must stay alert in the unlocking. If you're not on the alert, you're going to miss out what God's doing. All right, you must stay alert in the unlocking to move forward through these doors with wisdom, with increased discernment, and greater levels of stewardship. I'm trying to teach you to be a steward. It has not worked yet. So what are you going to do when he unlocks these doors and you don't even know how to be a steward yet? Come on. And he's been telling you, you need wisdom and you need discernment. And I'm going to put in there, you need common sense. Nobody has any common sense anymore. Have you ever noticed that? The younger people have no common sense, do they? None. You think, my Lord, where did common sense go? Went out the window with the Bible, I guess. The people of God, I read that, didn't I? Step up in September. There is going to be a stepping up required in September. The sense of many being placed in their it's time moment. And I've been hearing God say, hey, this is your time.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
This is the manifestation and realization of my time has come. And being ready to move forward. God spoke a couple times, a couple people in here, through me, this is your time. But they stand there, they won't receive no anointing, they won't receive the Spirit, just stand there. Duh, I like to smack you up alongside the head a couple times. God just told you one of the most wonderful news he could ever tell you. But he didn't tell me what my husband's doing down at the corner. Who cares what your husband's doing down at the corner? He's telling you it's your time to work for him. See, we need to get our minds off of dumb junk, and we need to get our minds on Christ, and we need to listen to what God is saying. You know, if you just get in your mind on Christ and do this and know it's your time and do the things God's calling you for to do, he's going to take care of all your dumb junk. He really is. Because you don't have time to fool with dumb junk anymore. You know? Because you're going to be too busy for God. How many times do I have to tell you that? How many times have I told my staff, you're going to be so busy you won't know which ends up pretty soon? All right, there will be greater areas of stretching and testing in September. My Lord. Some of you can't stand what's going on now. What are you going to do now since September is here? And he's stretching and testing. There will be greater areas of stretching and testing in September, but these stretching and testings will be in the midst of whirlwind changes. Remember, God said, I keep seeing the whirlwind. These are God's changes that he's bringing. And there will be much joy. God's been trying to get your joy going, right? And also a deeper call to surrender and intimacy to carry the increase he is releasing. If you can't get the joy, and if you can't surrender everything to him, if you can't become intimate with him, you're not going to be able to carry any increase, and he's not going to give you any. See, the church has played church for so long, they still think they've played church, and God told us a couple years ago, it's done. No gray line anymore. You're done. You can't play church. You have to be church. But the body of Christ is still playing church. Body of Christ is still making excuses why they can't do what God's calling them to do. Excuse, excuse, excuse. When people call me for excuse, I say, is that all you have to say? Because I don't want to hear no excuses. You're either God's and you're his full time from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, or you're not. Well, you don't know how busy I am. I really don't care how busy you are. You know, doing God's work. God gave you that and he knows you can handle it. Are you understanding this? Quit your complaining. Quit your complaining. And let God do what he wants to do in your life. I lost my place. Where am I at, Nancy? Is that right? Oh, I had to turn the page. Sorry. September will be a month of strategy. He is releasing keys of strategy for breakthrough, revival, and increase in cities and nations. He's been having me revamp my whole church. That's, he wakes me up and I'm trying to study. He's talking about what he wants to do. He wants to change the church around. So this is why. September will be a month of strategy. He is releasing keys of strategy for breakthrough, revival, and increase in cities and nations. See, he has to rearrange things so we can go get the breakthrough and do the things that he wants the church to do. We can't do what he wants us to do the way we are. Do you understand that? You know, you have to grow up sometime. And if you haven't grown up, I don't know what you're going to do because it's too late. Well, she just told me I'm going to die and go hell. No, I didn't say that. Specific strategy from heaven will be released in September to the leaders in the body of Christ for their cities and nations to pray into and see the Lord come as a rushing wind. to see the fire of God fall and see pockets of cities and nations being lit up and set on fire for him. Come on. Don't you want to be the revival, the hub of revival? God told us, didn't he say the lighthouse is going to be the hub for revival? Well, what are you waiting on then? I told God if they don't want to move, kick them out. I did. I'm honest with y'all. I'm not going to play games with you. If you don't want to move with God, if you don't want to do the deep things of God, if you don't want revival, if you don't want to see the people healed, then I don't need you. You should feel the very same thing. You don't need dead weight hanging on you. Because God is, I'm tired of being in this spot waiting for you guys to get the dead weight off of you. You're dragging me down. And I told God, I'm done. When are you going to say, I'm done? When are you going to finally say, devil, I'm done with all this dead weight. I want it off of me, and tell God, I want it off me because I want to go forward and do the things you're calling me to do. It's not until you get that mindset that you're going to be free. It isn't. It isn't. You have to get that mindset. I'm just done with this junk. And I'm talking about the enemy holding you down, binding you up with other people. You know, people are speaking curses over you. Aren't you tired of those curses being able to light on you? Come on. Lost my place again. All right. Moves of his spirit demonstrating greater demonstrations of the revival we are moving into. Moves of his spirit demonstrating greater demonstrations of the revival we are moving into is going to begin to be seen through the implementation of these strategies from the heart of God. Come on. You know, when I held the revival, God said, put on there, it's a miracle revival. So I put it on there. And somebody said, we couldn't believe that somebody had the nerve to write that they were having a miracle service. So we had to come out. Well, I didn't have to have the nerve for nothing. I do what God tells me to do. And really, because people didn't see, you know, blind eyes open and people jumping out of wheelchairs, they said, well, that wasn't no miracle service. Yes, it was. Every deliverance that happened was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I'm going to be honest. I said to God, I said, you know, God, every night, two or three people are getting delivered. And I want to see miracles. He said, what do you think I'm doing? Yeah. I complained. Then, so what happened after the revival? People quit coming. Nothing going on over in that church. Do you know why nothing's going on over here in this church? You've got too much baggage hanging on you. You have not yet decided I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. You have not yet said, God, I don't want none of this world. All I want is you. So if you can't give that up, I said, God, move them. So if you all of a sudden find yourself being moved, it's because I asked, because you wouldn't straighten up. I love you, but you've been holding me down too long. I've been going through this holding down phase for 15 years now. I'm sorry, but I came into it full-blown miracles. And for 15 years, I haven't seen that. And I'm tired of the mundane. I want to do the same works Jesus did, and I want to do the greater works that Jesus did. And there's only one way I can do that. Give it all to Jesus. Say, God, I'm not holding on to nobody. You know, I've done all I can do. I preached my heart out. I've done everything you've asked me to do. And if they don't want it, well, then I do. I'm going to read the rest of it. Where am I at? These breakthroughs that will begin rising out of these strategies will refresh and strengthen leaders, intercessors, and forerunners that have become weary in the contending process. And didn't I just say I become weary in it? I should have read this paragraph first. These breakthroughs that will begin rising out of these strategies will refresh and strengthen leaders, intercessors, and forerunners that have become weary in the contending process. September will be the open door for much unlocking all across the body of Christ as the people of God are intentional in their seeking of him and will have heavenly ripple effects that will be seen into the next year. She wrote that down twice. Now, some of my staff I've been talking to, I know when they get off the phone, they go, meh, 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 meh. I don't care if you're meh, 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 meh. We have a work to do for the Father. And if it entails not sleeping, then we won't sleep. If it entails giving up some of your comforts, then you give up some of your comforts. If it entails doing things that you really in your heart, you really, oh God, this is going to cause no trouble. Then that's what it entails. You can't be happy one day and down the next. You can't love your wife one day and the next day you want to go to the divorce court. That is not being in line with God and His Word. It isn't. It's time that the body of Christ straightens up. It's time we line up with what God is trying to do. Now, Second? I got my son and grandson in trouble yesterday because I thought yesterday was the second. Well, anyhow, this is 2 days into September. You have what? 11 more days. Am I adding right? 11 more days before Rosh Hashanah. Now, God's going to do all this stuff in the next 11 days. Where are you going to be at? And what are you going to be doing? Are you going to be in alignment with God so He can give you everything He wants to give you? Are you going to be there so He can give you the breakthroughs, the wisdom and the discernment? Are you going to be there so He can give you your new anointings and your new mantles that He wants to give you? I'm standing up here tonight. I didn't know God was going to use me this strongly, but I'm standing up here tonight being used by God very strongly to let you know it's time you get it together. You're way past time getting it together. And if you don't watch out, you're going to lose out. What's so hard about following God? I want to know that. What is so hard about giving up sin? I don't want you to speak out, but I'd like to know that. You know, what's so hard? I'll tell you what, when you were running the bars, you didn't care if you didn't get any sleep at all. I know people at hot bars. Oh, it's time. I used to be the waitress overseas, you know, in a bar, in the officer's club. Sorry, sir, you got to leave. Oh, it's time to leave? I don't want to go home. Well, you got to go home. You know, been in the house of God. How much longer are they going to be doing this stuff? You should be drunk in the Holy Spirit, and you won't look at your wristwatch ever. God says it's going to be times with this great awakening when you're going to be slain in the spirit and you're going to lay here for 2-3 days. I hope you don't have a roast on. It's going to be burnt. You're clapping, but you don't really mean that. Come on. Or you'd be doing more things than you're doing for God. Come on. We can say amen, clap our hands, jump up and down and sing hallelujah and scream and stomp our feet until we're blue in the face and still not be where we should be with God. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you awake before it's too late. Yeah, I'm hearing God say, this is your last thrust. You need to get it totally complete. Not 99% right, 100% right. 100% right. Not 99.9. Are you ready to let go of your baggage tonight? Are you really ready to let go of it and let go of it instead of picking it up the minute you walk out the door or the minute somebody says something to you don't like or you stop to think about it. We used to hold meetings and I talked to people and Brother Chris would say, boy, they took that rather well. I said, wait till tomorrow. See, they had time to go home and sleep on it. Next day, boy, they had through a fit. How dare you? You know, your heart's not right with God. I didn't do anything wrong. Just having a meeting. Nobody likes. I have found out about one thing about the Lighthouse Church. Nobody likes to be told what to do. They do not like to be told what to do. I have found that out about you people. And I said to God today, that is sad. Because they can never be a leader. If you can't be a servant, you can't be a leader. The minute you try to tell somebody what to do, they chomp into bits and act like a fool. Now, you need to get over it. I'm trying to tell you things you need to get over before this 13 days is over, or you're going to miss it all.